Good morning. I want to quote from the inspiration which I got this morning. It was put down by Mark, this Mark, ours, our Mark. Yeah. Surprisingly, he put that inspiration. He does that usually. I don't know how, when I will speak here, he has something which is similar. The verses which I like, or the message which I will give, he usually gives it in the morning. Let me quote what he said this morning. I quote, "The Lord's great love endures forever. The Lord's great love endures forever." He went on to say, "His love and faithfulness stand firm for all eternity." He further went on to say, "The Lord will indeed give all that is good to those who love him." That is a quotation from Mark, what Mark put down here. Brothers and sisters, it is amazing to speak about love. Love is a general subject, but the Greeks had to analyze or categorize it in various ways. They would tell you that this type of love is this one, this type of love is going this way. I want to just follow a few of them. They've got about seven specific ones, but I'll touch one or two or three types of love. The other one is philontia. Philontia is self-love. Self-love means that you care for yourself. You think about yourself more than the second person. When you think about yourself, when you wake up in the morning, you want to see that you've washed properly. You want to see that your head is well done, or hair. Like ladies, they want to check their mouth, they want to check their ears, they want to check their skin as well. Those are ladies. They are very careful on themselves. I would classify that under philontia, which is self-love. They would check themselves how they walk with those long shoes. If they are walking properly or not, they want to look beautiful. Yeah, that is a gift from God. Then there is another one, which is called Eros. This Eros is an erotic love. It is a love which is passionate. It is a love which is attractive. It is a love which is usually dealing with a girlfriend or boyfriend or a husband and a wife. Yeah, I have that love too, to my wife. When you have such a love, you think your wife is the only one in the world, or you think your man is the only one, the best one, the most beautiful, beautiful like my wife. When she is there, also she will be thinking about myself, what she can do for me. I remember one time, when Esther was in America, what year was it? Maybe 2-3 years. She went there with her work. Then she started to call there. I am in a shop here trying to buy their nice suits here in New York. What colors do you want? She knew my sizes, but she bought wrong sizes. Because she was following the American number, which was 38, it was peak. that 38. It was not like the number here. But I said, I am not going to lose this suit from my wife's gifts, which show love. I had to take them to town to alter them to fit me. So she thought about me. One day when I was about to be killed in Zimbabwe in 1980, that is 43 years ago, we had our little children, two, before we had the other four. So a gang or a group of men came carrying AKs and grenades. They said, can you say bye-bye to your husband because we are taking him away. It was 9 p.m., dark, and they wanted to take me to the bush, nearby bush, from the church where we lived. Then they pulled me straight away before she had to say bye-bye to me. Then they were pushing me to the bush. Then when I was in the bush, I didn't know that she was there. She was following. Then when we were there, when they were accusing me about what was happening, it was a political situation. Many parties, of which I never joined any of them, because our religion was, I was a pacifist, actually. So we're not allowed to join any party. I was trying to argue with them that, you know, I don't support so-and-so, I don't support so-and-so. By the way, we are from there, from the other side of the country. Then my wife said, what is the problem? I was shaken to hear her voice near. What's the problem? Then they said, you people, you live in this house. It was a beautiful house. We can crush it now. 1 second, if you think. Then I said, why, what's the problem? Then she was speaking in their language, Shona. You know, they knew that I couldn't speak Shona very well. So somebody said, where do you come from? She said, I come from Buhera. Where about in Buhera? I said, I'm from the store there, the Ganga store. That's my father. I said, you are from Ganga? I said, yes. Ah, I heard them whispering there. And it helped to release us. Then somebody said, I'm hungry. Leave them, let them go. I'm hungry. I said, no, let them give us food then. Ah, my wife had to run to the house to look for food. Instead of food, she came with money, all the money we were ready to pay the bills. She said, you can buy somewhere there, buy food somewhere, so that they go quickly. So they left us, they went away. She actually saved me. I was dying. They had to show us that this weapon was going to kill your husband. It was a grenade. Then they had the AKs as well. So I'm trying to define this type of love, which is like a rose. But it goes further to more deeper. This was more deeper than a rose, because this was pragma love. They call it pragma, which is going deep. To build, you think about building life, future, have children, have nice houses, and have buses or whatever you have. This is pragma. Then there is another one called philia. These loves were described by the Greek philosophers like Plato and Aristotle. So philia is usually for friendship. It is a long-lasting love. Other Christians like the Quakers, some of them, they ended up giving themselves a name like the Friends. They became the Friends, deriving it from this type of love. It is the love, I think, which is described in the passage which was read here from John 13, where Jesus said, a new commandment I am giving unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. And when you love one another, they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the type of love which Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, or assigned to them, or commissioned them to have that type of love. He called it a new commandment. There are commandments which are in the New Testament. One is about children. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3, you find that the children, obey your parents. Then 4, it goes further to say, you parents also, don't provoke your children, but teach them in love, sort of. So this love, it's called the storge, which is about the families, relationships. One time my wife, when I went to pick my wife, she asked us to carry her work colleague to drop her somewhere on our way. Then I said, do you live here in Coventry? Were you born here? She said, yes, I was born here. You have a family? Yes, I have. But you haven't spoken to each other for 15 years. I said, you live here in Coventry? She said, yes. When we meet in town, I hide myself. If they see me first, they hide themselves. We've been living like that for 15 years. Now, who are you living with? I'm living with Mike, my boyfriend, and his son. You don't want to meet them? No. I don't want to even to see them. That's what she said. Here I'm trying to talk about family relationships. Even children, there are those children who at 17, they don't want to see their parents. Or those parents who, when their children are 17, 16, they don't want to see them. They chase them away. It happens. I've seen these things happening in this country. So it's very unfortunate. But let me go straight to the love, which is we've been reading about. This is the love they called agape, agape love. This love is above the present circumstances. It's above general life. This is the love which is described in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to save the world. Those who will repent will be saved. But those who don't receive him will be perished. So this love is great. This love is extraordinary. This love is sacrificial. This love is wonderful love. That's why we are here today. You and I, we find that we boast of being children of God today. You are happy because God can listen to you when you pray. You are happy that you can tell somebody your problem. That is God. And you are children of God. And the God says that you and I, we can talk. We live together. You in me, and I in you. That's what God said. This is the love which goes beyond the boundaries. It is wonderful. Even in the Corinthian church that was boasting for spiritual gifts, you'll find that there were many people there, like the priests and the priestesses who were found there. And they were doing a lot of malicious things which were unchristian, if we describe those things today. But you'll find that they also spoke about love. They thought they had that extraordinary love. I don't know what kind of love that was. Because even in some religions today, those who ran away from the teachings of those Christian background teachers, people like other churches, like other sects, how should I call it, religions, like Baha'ism or something like that, you find that there is this cheaper quality love, where they say, we love each other. Because the book says you love your neighbor as you love yourself. The way they love their neighbor as they love themselves is corruption. Because I saw it. My friend, we went to the theological college together. She came to our house with my wife and said, I have no place to stay. I said, where are you staying? She said, I'm staying nearby here with my brother. But as I speak now, I ran out. Because there are fellow members are inside. They are cooking, they are doing all these things. But what they will do at the end, they will say they love their neighbor as thyself. Meaning that each one can take anyone's wife or each one can take anyone's husband and go with them for that day. I said, is it so? He said, yes. And they want me to be in that. I said, oh, it's terrible. He said, so how are you feeling? He said, I'm a Christian. I'm a theological graduate. So I can't do such things. So that's why when I realized that there were all these religions which were opposite to our religion. When we talk about love, the love we are talking about, which is biblical in ours, is agape love. The agape love is the one that Jesus, that caused Jesus to die for us. The agape love is the one that when they were about to kill him, beating him, when he was in pain, he said, hey, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Imagine somebody is beating you and doing all these things, and they are there. They are watching all the security guards and other people. He says, Father, may you please forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. To me, it was more that they didn't know what they were doing. They even didn't know that they didn't know that they didn't know that they didn't know what they were doing. So Jesus Christ, as God, had to forgive them. When he asked the Father to forgive, it means that him had already forgiven them. But he did not say it with his mouth only. He continued to speak to the guy who went on the cross sinful. But that guy realized that who Jesus was. But that guy realized where Jesus was to go. But that guy realized that he was a sinner. Then he said, we are sinners. We are sinners. Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Then Jesus answered quickly in one sentence. He didn't demand baptism. He didn't demand membership. He didn't demand a period of when the committees will go through the person to check if he was qualifying to be a member. He just said, today I will be with you in paradise. That's what he said. Paradise is mentioned a few times, but here is the time that I remember very well. When paradise was mentioned to a man who was unbaptized, to a man who went to the cross sinful, and this man was promised paradise by Jesus. Remember, at the same cross, he had asked God to forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing. Brothers and sisters, there is one sin which is hard to forgive. How do I want to put it? There is one sin which God will judge people on, unforgiving. Most people, they don't forgive. I've heard deeper Christians saying that you forgive and forget. But I've realized that to human beings, it is hard to forgive and forget. The missionary I worked with, he was my colleague. I was helping him to work 6 months in Zimbabwe because he had something in the body, like asthma. So in cold season, he was coming from America coming to try to work with me on church growth. When I accommodated him, he would work there 6 months. But one time, was it New Year or Christmas, he said, can we go to work at Rangemo? Then I said, people have planned that today we have to play basketball and we play volleyball and we eat. Today they celebrate that. Then he said, myself, I did not come from America to eat and to do all these things. I've come to work. Then I took my books, other things. I said, oh, go to work. Then we continued to play. I think you know that he got very angry that day. When I went to America, when we were gathered there, after maybe 5 years, that thing having been done, and he occasionally came and he we were loving each other. He pretended we loved each other. Then we sat together. Then he said, I requested that you come with me. Then I went with him outside. We went into a big car, his big car, you know, American cars. Then we said, do you remember that day? He started to shake like this. Do you remember that? He was big. Do you remember that day when we were at Young Ways there and we were supposed to go to Rangemo and we were supposed to work there? I said, oh, yeah, I remember. He said, I was very angry. He started to shake like this. He said he was very angry. Then I looked at him like this. I was big too that time, but I didn't have such emotions. Then I just walked out of his car. I went back to the meeting. Then he came, he followed, he came to sit near me. And he said, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. I didn't answer. So forgiveness. He had been a minister in Africa for many, many years. Then now he was retired. He was in America. But he was coming by chance because he wanted to be seen to be helping there. So I accommodated him in church growth ministry, and he was still angry about something that happened one day. And he wanted to boss me that we don't have an off day to enjoy with the rest of Christian workers. He wanted to take me to range more to work there. Then myself, I was the boss. Then I said, you know, I can't go there. So forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is not easy. Do we forgive? Are you sure you forgive properly? Does it come to you that when somebody did something bad to you, you just forgive them automatically? Or you keep on burning inside for years and years? When we were saved, we no longer do that. When I started to work, I was working with thousands and thousands of people there when we were overseas with my wife. And there was these most educated people, like education officers or hospital managers, because we were working with the cities. That's where you could find such people. And you find that some of them were complaining that they were too young. Some of them were complaining about other things. You know, if people are getting a lot of money there, and you are here, you are Christian workers, although you have your positions and you get little money, they want to bully you on that. They want you to think about how much you should earn. You must earn not more than them. You need to earn less than them, something like that. But we prayed with my wife. We said, God, we request that maybe 1,000 or 2 can talk about us every day. And let not our hearts be aggrieved, or let's not be offended. Let's accept it because we are different. Somebody thinks this, somebody thinks that. But we are only your servants. We want to forgive them. Whatever they say, we can ask for counsel from them. We can ask advice for them, because there is nobody who knows everything. So we worked there for about 15 years, being overseers. and we had no problem. When we left, they loved us, and they still love us, even now. I brought this today so that we can really think deeply about how we forgive our brothers. Not only our brothers, do we forgive our children? Do we forgive our children? Maybe you haven't experienced this. Myself, I've got children of all sizes. I've got grands of all sizes. Myself, you see me as I am. But you don't think they all obey what you are saying every time. You call somebody, you say, you see that they feel pains that you want to ask them to do something. But you have to keep smiling. You have to be patient with them. Talk to them nicely. You find that they really understand. Even going to church, they don't want to come to go to church. Children, they don't want to go. They don't want to believe what you believe. They want to believe what they believe. What other people of their size believe. That's what they want. But how do you convince them so that they can really listen to you? You pray. You talk to them nicely. You find that they come to church. I'm lucky because in my family, I've won all my brothers. They died coming to church. My mother died a Christian, but I was born in an unchristian home. But because of Jesus Christ, I ministered to my family first. That's to win my family, my brothers, even my children. That's what I try to do. Now I'm dealing with my grands as well. I wanted them to come to church. That's why Malachi is here. That's why Israel is here. Otherwise, it's not easy. It needs prayer. I don't blame those. Even sometimes your wife will say, I'm not going to your church. I have another church there to go. I experienced those things as a leader, where you find a man is going there, a husband is going there. We've done counselings on such homes. So let's pray God to help us always to live amicable with our families, to live amicable with our brothers, to live amicable with our neighbors. You might be unfortunate, you might not be speaking to your neighbor. You need to pray about it because there are those impossible neighbors. But to us, although we have a different color, they come to our door, they bring things, they tell the post where to deliver their things if they are not there. They deliver things to my house. They do all these things. Let's pray for such situations and for the devil not to catch us on these little things. God is love. There are three spiritual gifts, like faith, like hope. Faith is that you have to have faith in Jesus Christ so that you go to heaven. Hope is that we need to know that there is heaven and we are to go to heaven. Then love is here, but love is there. It will never end. Although people are crying for many gifts, let's cry for these three gifts. And it's special love. If you win love, love is God. If you have God, you are not a loser. You can't lose anything. Beloved Father, we come to you this afternoon. We want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you for the name, which is above all names. The name, love, which is agape, sacrificial love, love that is worth dying for, love that has blood in it, love that can take all of us to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.